47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the Hump Day edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in with us this morning. Had some good calls yesterday, some spirited debates about the Lane Kiffin situation. They stay in the news. I'm sure Dad will tell you about that, about the offensive coordinator. It's a little bit strange, but I understand it. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You also can send us an app message throughout the show. We'd be happy to read those on the air. If you want to get us by email, that's wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. When you watch that Alabama-Auburn game, you saw Pat Dye Field, and right under that, you saw Yellowwood the entire game. So go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, I guess Vegas was right. Alabama did move up to 9, and I think that probably helps them a lot, don't you think, Dad?
Yeah, I think it did. Alabama moving up. Let me explain something to all of you. You have a bad loss. You have a bad loss, or it's just a loss, just about. And you're on the borderline, you're out. That's how close it is with this situation. The Alabama situation is a little better. And if they move into 9, moved ahead of Notre Dame, a little bit better there. But Texas and Vanderbilt are out. The loser of the Ohio State-Indiana game still stays in because neither team's lost. The loser of the Georgia-Alabama game, I hope I'm wrong, but don't know what's going to happen there. But an Alabama team has 2 losses. A third loss there would, even though I don't like the way they're set it up, a third loss there could put a question mark by Alabama, I think. There's no doubt about that. So one of the other things that confuses you a little bit is that Miami beat Notre Dame, yet Notre Dame is ahead of them. Notre Dame is 10 and Miami is 12. So a little bit confusing there. If Barry wants to comment on what I've said, he can. But that's where our picture lies right now. And I think it's important that you win. I don't know that a blowout win. I think they're looking to see you get beat, the committee. And when you do, they drop you down. They have a reason to. They've worked hard to fix this, and it's gone into Alabama's favor if they can beat Georgia. So we'll see what happens there. On the basketball side of it, I had thought all along that Kentucky was not as good as they have been. I came home and watched it. Probably the poorest announced game that I've ever heard in college basketball. But Florida, Tennessee, and Kentucky all lost. Those are the 3 best teams besides Alabama, of course. Got beat last night for Florida, just 1 point by Georgia, Tennessee, 2 by Syracuse, and North Carolina, who's okay, not great, but okay. Beat Kentucky at Kentucky, and South Carolina and Ole Miss did lose. I thought Ole Miss would be a little bit better. South Carolina, we know what they are. And Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Georgia, and A&M won. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Alabama takes on a good basketball team is, you know, you're going to have to play and against Clemson, and we'll see what happens there. And if you're an Auburn fan listening to our show, 8:15 game, North Carolina State is at Auburn. That should be in Arkansas, is at Louisville. LSU's at Boston College, just doesn't matter. Vanderbilt's at SMU. Virginia's at Texas. Mississippi State's at Georgia Tech. I saw Barry's team play last night. They turned it over a little bit too much. The one thing they do is they darn well rebound defensively. I thought that was the best thing, and they shoot the three well. So a good win for him. I'll try to be there Friday night and watch it as the good Lord's will and the creek don't rise. I'm not sure you want.
You have to wear your pajamas. I think it's silent night, so you can wear your pajamas.
What's silent night?
I don't know, something the students wear their Christmas pajamas to the game. And we did turn it over a lot.
I turned over a lot, but your team, the defense's rebound is really good, I thought.
Yeah.
They shot and they made three. The difference in that, that was the difference in the game at threes. They had one kid who I thought might be a prospect for somebody, but I wasn't sure. So.
Yeah, they get anyway. Number 24. He's a junior. And then the 22 kids already committed to a junior college, but they have good athletes.
Anyway,
good athletes.
Yeah. Friday night. Tonight is again Clemson game, 6 o'clock. And so I told you about as much as I can tell you. I'm going to tell you one more time that we've got. You might as well just listen to. We got borderline standing, but I got a committee sitting there. Just waiting to drop you if you get beat. And I had thought that if you got in the championship game and lost, you still got in.
I don't think Alabama will move if they get beat.
Okay, great. Ohio State and Indiana would just have whoever loses that game will have their first loss.
But they're not going to move out. They're not going to move out of the top four. They're still going to get the byes.
I understand, but Alabama and Georgia, it bothers me that Alabama were to lose, that they have three losses and be out. Hey, I could be wrong on that.
No, I don't think they're going to move. I think they're going to. The team I feel sorry for is you look at, Oklahoma's 10-2, and so they get to be ranked 8. Alabama's 10-2, and they get to be 9. And Notre Dame's 10-2, and they're 10. And Miami's 10-2. I think they should be ahead of Notre Dame. Texas 9 is poor little Vanderbilt. They're down there 10-2, and they put them 14 at 10-2, and they absolutely. And then they say in the committee, well, they hadn't beat a top 25 team. Well, Tennessee was in the top 25, and they mauled them. And so since they mauled them, they're being punished because they knocked them out of the top 25. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's absolutely brutal situation on Vanderbilt. I guess that's the one team. Vanderbilt did run and get a 5-star from Georgia. The Lane Kiffin thing, I'm not going to sit here and get into all this. Big stinks about this. The team said that the meeting didn't go the way that Lane Kiffin said it did. What Lane Kiffin said, they said, was not true. And so there's a stink there. For me to get on this radio show and try to go through that, be a joke. So,
what do you think about them allowing Charlie Weiss to go be the coordinator for the game?
For Ole Miss to do that?
No, they're doing it. He's going back and going to call the game. What do you think about that?
Lane Kiffin obviously wanting them to win because he wants to take credit for the win.
Well, he also gets paid if they win.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's right. He gets paid. He's got all the angles, and you can bet on that. And he was called a liar in the NFL by their commissioner and so forth. So, anyway, it doesn't really matter about all that. The Lane Kiffin thing will be stirred up the whole time. If you want to comment on it with Barry, you can, because he's on one side and I'm on the other. So it's just good.
You think that'll be a tough ticket next year when LSU goes to Ole Miss?
Gonna be a bad one.
James.
You won't have the money to buy one.
Yeah. Well, Lane Kiffin needs security going back to Ole Miss.
Sure will. And the best thing he can do is go at game time. Not go.
Should his daughter drop out of Ole Miss?
Oh, she's dating one of the LSU players. She'd probably marry him.
Should she drop out now? I mean, she's in the middle of the semester.
She could change her name. I don't know.
Change her name.
Change her first name. So,
I mean, it's the last name that's the problem, not the first name. Yeah. And then the big stick, where is Knox?
Change your last name.
Going to
huh?
go to high school. Is he going to all the different schools in Baton Rouge? So where's Knox going to high school? John Cohen's going to be on with us today.
I think it's really good, John. I called John, and he's nice enough doing all this mess to be on the show for me. He was at, and the reason that is that he was at Alabama when I was coaching. And I want to thank him when he gets on and tell him how much I appreciate it. We're not going to ask him any. But the DJ Durkin thing, y'all, was set when he hired the guy. Ain't no doubt. He didn't tell me that. But it was set in advance.
That's why they didn't get the guy that went to Florida, because I think they were trying to tell him who to hire. And guys don't like to be told who to hire.
What's the stink over Florida situation, him going there? What's the stink over that? Is there a stink?
No, there's no stink. Just when they talked to Kiffin, they were trying to tell Kiffin who they were going to hire, the player personnel guy, who they were going to bring in. And his first meeting with Scott Strickland did not go good. I think he realized once he met with Scott Strickland that Florida was out. He wasn't going to go work for Scott Strickland. So I don't think Strickland was crazy about Lane Kiffin anyway. So
no, he wasn't. He's like AD here now. So there seemed to be a was upset of the Tulane guy going to Florida. I couldn't quite figure that one out. And I think Arkansas got into a little bit of a tussle with Auburn on the AD they got, and Arkansas, if they wanted to, could beat anybody. They could run the ticket up pretty good. So
yeah,
they haven't done that too.
They're not serious yet. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Phillip when we get back. You guys want to jump in 205-342-9904. 2 minute truck. They're ready to take great care of you. It's a local move out of town, out of state. No problem. They'll take the stress away. If you just need stuff, come and move around the house. They'll send two guys out there to do that for you as well. Where it's local, out of town, out of state, give them a call today. 205-247-5050. That's 2 minute truck. Movers and care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Frequent flyers looking to skip lines at the airport can now enroll in the TSA pre-check right here in Tuscaloosa. That's thanks to a new offering from the University of Alabama. UA's passport office will now offer TSA pre-check enrollment, becoming the first Alabama college to do so. Pre-check allows passengers to use a separate line at airport security, keep shoes, belts, and jackets on. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more local news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move with a purpose on the roadways. Right now looking at 43 southbound at McFarland. That busy intersection continues with its norm. And 2059 on the east and west film side between 359 and Joe Malisham. You've got some road construction, of course. This is ongoing, but the delays.
Fine. Call the Tom Hanna Agency today for a quote at 205-462-8192 or visit alphainsurance.com/Tom Hanna today.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
5339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. A brighter day today, the sky mostly sunny, the high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 33.
For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain, highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 100.9 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Inside the locker room, fresh or treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Last year, the SEC went 14-2 against the ACC. That ain't going to happen this year. So the SEC took a little bit of a dip from last year to this year, it looks like, so far. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, my friends. I hope y'all are doing good today.
We're good, man. How are you?
Okay, good, sir. This is just a little warning from East Alabama to the Gump Nation. Be very aware of this committee if Alabama loses Saturday. I'm with you all the way, Wimp. And be very, very aware. This committee, they right. changed their justification based on public outcry. I firmly believe that they stick their thumb in their mouth and put it in the air. And they see where they need to make their decision.
I try to say that in a nice way of Indigo, but Alabama gets their butt beat, they're out.
No, when they put Alabama minus 1,400 to make the playoffs, they're in. Okay. Vegas knows.
Good.
And they had that out yesterday before the rankings even came out. And lo and behold, Bama went ahead of Notre Dame. So they know in Vegas, and they say they're in.
Okay, well, good.
Well,
I feel better about it then.
You think Vegas is rarely wrong?
I think Vegas is never wrong. You know, you get beat 21-28 to nothing.
Okay.
Your butt's 88 and that's the game.
Then you can make a pile of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm leery about them. To me, they change their justification at the drop of a hat. That's what's so scary.
See, I don't. People say, "Well, they did. They did it." People, they don't remember Philip when they say they did it to Florida State. Yeah, because they watched Florida State play in the ACC championship game without that quarterback.
Right.
And so, and there was only four teams then. So I just don't. Unless Alabama just gets beat 52-0 or something like that,
oh,
I don't.
Now you're changing it.
Well, I said 52-0. I don't see that. They're not going to fall out of the playoff.
I think if they get beat 21-20, they're out.
Well, you're saying they won't be there. So why would they even have the championship game? That makes no sense.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. The championship game is ridiculous. I agree with you.
Bear, did you happen to see? Were you on X last night when all this went down? Did you see Kirk Herbstreit's live feed and him and Joey Galloway's live feed on that?
I did.
They want that Tuesday night show put to bed and buried and pour concrete over it. They think the Tuesday night show is ridiculous, and that was shocking coming from them because it is a ratings device that ESPN uses. So that shocked me that they said that. And I agree with them. I think the Tuesday night show is just pure theatrics, just, you know, dumb.
The committee knew they had to get Alabama ahead of Notre Dame. They looked at the body of work, and so they set it up last night to put Alabama in. So Alabama's in based on beating Auburn.
That's
right. So,
well,
now the question is Alabama, if they beat Georgia, see, I don't think they move up to the top four. They're not going to be one of the top four ranked teams if they beat Georgia. I think you hear people saying if they beat them, they're going to get a bye. I don't believe they'll get a home game and not a bye.
They're going to play Oklahoma at Oklahoma.
Well, that's if they lose.
Yeah.
If they win, they're going to play at home.
Well, I think their projection is just based strictly on their rankings, not if they win or lose. I don't think anybody knows yet all that stuff. But I can't imagine. I mean, if Oklahoma hosts a game on December the 19th or December 20th, Whip, you probably recruited out there that time of year. And I know you can probably tell us what the weather is going to be like in Oklahoma on December 19th, 20th. It's going to be crappy.
Well, it's going to be a lot of wind. And guess what catches that wind? Barbed wire fence.
Do y'all think they ought to, if it gets down to that, like let's say it's the way it is now, Oklahoma 8, Alabama 9, Notre Dame 10, should they not flip? Like, because if you, only the 5 through 8 is getting a home game, should they not flip if we're in the same conference and you've played each other, flip you one spot so you're not playing again?
I think all that will just come out and wash. I agree with that. I just, you know, playing Oklahoma again certainly doesn't thrill me.
What do we think about Miami? They got the same records. Notre Dame beat Notre Dame head-to-head.
Miami needs BYU to lose, and they're in.
Yeah. Why should they be where they are now?
They should. Well, they should be ahead of Notre Dame.
Well, of course they should. Beat them head-to-head. Head-to-head's the big key. That's the big key you use is head-to-head.
When I go on my eye test, too, I think Vanderbilt should be up in there.
I tell you what, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I want Alabama to be in the game. Don't get me wrong. It'd be interesting to see what Vanderbilt could do with Georgia Saturday.
Yeah.
That'd be a fascinating matchup. But they got a good team. You know, I might not care for the Pavia family and their posse and all that, but he can sure play.
That just shows you, if you win, people don't care how you act. He no more fits Vanderbilt's image than anything, but they seem to love him because he's winning.
You think he went to class?
Hmm?
You think he went to class?
His brother got arrested.
Yeah.
Brother?
You think?
Yeah. It's a game. It's a Tennessee game.
Watch Lane go after him if he gets that next year of eligibility, which he already has. I think he did win that suit.
No, I don't think it's been determined yet, but surely
not.
Another
thing I'll mention is that Duke environment last night was just incredible. Have y'all been there? And coach, have y'all coached games at Cameron Indoor Stadium? Have either one of y'all?
I have, yes.
I have too. I think.
What is that like?
I think mine was in New York.
It's tiny. It seats like 8,000. When they open the door, the students come running in there about 2 hours before the game.
I did a game, Philip, I'm not, right beside Vitale. Mm-hmm. Hill, and we were sitting way up. I was doing it on radio. He was doing it on television. He only has one eye. And he is
one eye.
Brutal. Yeah. He is brutal. I bet his heart. He's terrible. But
one eye.
I did two or three. He only has
one
eye.
One working eye. Alabama tonight is a 10.5 point favorite. It was 12. That's a lot of points. Clemson's not that. Clemson's pretty good now. That's a lot of points.
They don't really have a stud superstar. They've got three guys that average 11 points. They've got two or three guys that average 8 points, and then they got the other two or three guys that make the top eight. They all average 7. So they don't have a Brandon Miller type guy on that team, but they're good. They lost to Georgetown early in the year, but they beat West Virginia and they beat Georgia in overtime.
Three teams Alabama plays twice, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Tennessee, their record will be 6-0.
I like it.
Yeah, I hate this argument. What's Vanderbilt's biggest win? I mean, they're 10-2. They keep penalize Vanderbilt for. I mean, what's Alabama's biggest win other than after Georgia?
Probably Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Thank you, Phil.
See y'all.
All right. We'll get to break here. We'll get to John Cohen, athletic director at Auburn, when we get back from break. This is a Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Flagship home of Alabama sports.
Alabama, Georgia for the SEC title again.
And Alabama is heading to Atlanta again and playing
fast. It's the Crimson. Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs for the SEC title. Live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Join us at noon this Saturday on your home for Alabama football. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We move with a purpose on the roadways. Right now looking at 43 southbound at McFarland. That busy intersection continues with its norm. And 2059 on the east and westbound side between 359 and Joe Malisham. You've got some road construction, of course. This is ongoing, but the delays, none.
Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. NorthRiverTimberCompany.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood Hotline, Dad. I'll let you bring in John Cohen into the show.
There's not many times that you get an Auburn athletic director to be on in Tuscaloosa in a time of a lot of turmoil all over football. And John has done that for us, and I appreciate him. He came to my games. First, I appreciate him coming to my games, but I also appreciate Barry, and I appreciate him being on. Thank you for being on. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Coach. I've said this before, but somewhere in a closet, somewhere through my many, many moves, I still have a wimp-alike night mask. I still have the mask that they handed out at Memorial Coliseum at that point in time.
Was he smiling?
I don't think so.
No.
Those deals where you put your eyes through.
I know exactly the mask you're talking about, and he definitely wasn't smiling. So
they don't even know. They don't even know I coach there now. That leg director didn't know me. I want to say this in the right way. I had thought, in your trying to decide who you wanted to get, that you were looking for an offensive guy who could recruit. I don't know what your criteria was besides that. That's what I thought, and I think it's about right. Without going into detail, because that's not fair to you, talk a little bit about your hire and what your thinking is.
Yeah, we heard Alex Golish. Alex has really a truly American story when you think about it. His parents immigrated to this country from Russia when he was 7 years old, and there's four of them in an efficiency apartment in Brooklyn, New York, and they have $400 to their name. And that's about 34 years ago. Here he is. And the reason I mention this, Coach, is this is somebody who doesn't take a lot for granted in his life. He's somebody who has a deep appreciation for this country and the opportunities it presents. This guy don't sleep a whole lot. So I just, effort means the world to me. It means the world to our fans. In fact, it's embedded in the Auburn Creed. We are not going to lack from effort. And, I think everybody saw in that ball game on Saturday, obviously Alabama's a very good football team. I believe it was the fifth time we lost a one-score game this year.
Yeah.
We have talent. We have the talent. Now we have to have somebody who can bring it all together. And quite frankly, we just went through, a 12 to 16 quarter span where we just weren't scoring touchdowns. And if our offense was just efficient, if it was just average, we could be a 9-3 football team, maybe a 10-2 football team right now and with playoff possibilities. So, that's water under the bridge. But I think Alex is a guy who can bring all that together. And, of course, it all starts with getting the right people in the building and getting them where we need them to go.
Yeah.
We're talking with John Cohen. John, how difficult is it to really get to know somebody during a search when their season's going on? You guys got your season going on, and so you want to be respectful to that coach. A lot of times you're dealing with the agents there, but you also want to get to know the guy that you're hiring, make sure he's the right fit for your school. How difficult is that to go through when the season's still going on?
Well, you know, Barry, I've been following this guy since he was the offense coordinator at Central Florida when he was breaking records. And then, of course, at Tennessee, he lit up the whole world. I mean, the number one offense in America, Tennessee, right out of the gates. And so, I mean, it's been a while that I've been following this guy and how he's done it. Now, you know, when you're talking to someone, and I hate the word interview because I just, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, but you both know because you've recruited. You can make anything sound or look like you want it to sound in an hour or two when you're talking to somebody.
Sure.
But your track record means everything in the world. So you leave that trail of coaches and players' parents and administrators behind you. And when you start digging into that and everybody keeps saying the same thing about this person, I think you got something. And that's really what our research told us.
You know, when these guys come in, there's a staff there, and those guys are anxious. You know, you're dealing with families. I know your situation with Coach Freeze. You and Coach Freeze are friends, and these are difficult decisions to make, but they have to be made. Just talk about maybe his process of coming in, sitting down with the guys that are there, but he also has guys that he's working with, just working through all that. Sometimes it's difficult to do.
It is, you know, we live in a speed dating world right now in terms of the portal, in terms of the signing period and everything else. And by the way, I appreciate Barry bringing up Coach Freeze because he and his wife Jill and their family, they're world-class people. They have their priorities in the right place. They are really salt of the earth, great people. The bottom line is we had one of the least productive offenses in the Southeastern Conference in terms of scoring touchdowns. And I just believe that our talent was better than that. And in terms of what you're talking about right now with the transition part, you just have to have an army of people who are all pulling in the same direction at a very fast pace to make sure that you have a solid group coming in the early signing period. But more importantly, I think we're talented enough where we just got to make sure that we do a good job of holding on to our roster or the main pieces of our roster, because you both know this. They say in business, if you lose an employee, it costs you whatever it is. It costs you twice as much to replace them and their experience level. With a student athlete, I think it's very similar. I mean, for somebody who has been here for 2 years and has been a productive player, for you to replace that player, not only is there an expense there, but you're not 100% sure that the player you're bringing in can get to that level that quickly. So, and Alex did a great job of saying this in his press conference. We just, our priority has to be our roster at this point in time.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think keeping DJ maybe a little bit difficult on him, but a really good defensive mind, and I don't know him personally, but people started to judge him by how he looked on the sideline. He looked, you know, he's fine, and he didn't act like I acted. So he I think gives you some stability there. You talk about the players being good. I think the coaches on that side of the football were good all the whole time, and if they continue to be that way with your new coach, you I don't know how your schedule is, but I think things are only up, and I hate it for Coach Freeze, but I think DJ staying certainly helps.
It does. You know, guys, think about this. We played 12 football games. We gave up 24 or more points twice in 12 football games. And in both those examples, we had moved our D coordinator to the head coaching position. So So we did not have, prior to our defense coordinator, DJ Durkin, who did a great job leading our program, but prior to him taking over the program, we didn't have a team score more than 24 points against us. So we're one of only four programs in the country that could say that at that point. So defensively, the analytics really add up, and it very effort-driven. And the thing about our defense is, you know, outside of just a couple of pieces that were really good defensive players, it's a young defense. So that's there's some exciting times ahead of us on that side of the football.
Yeah. John, talk about the calendar. The signing dates today. The first signing date is the portal opens up, I think, January 2nd. So coaches are getting let go in the middle of the season. Then as soon as it's over, you got to hire somebody because everything is moving so fast. Do we not need to start college football maybe a week or two earlier, get it to where it finishes earlier? I mean, these guys that are transferring, they got to get to their new destination, and the coaches got to get to know them. And is the calendar – can it be fixed, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, I think it'd be fixed. But I think, Barry, where it all starts is with the signing period. I think we made a huge mistake of moving the signing period to December.
Yeah.
Especially in the Deep South. The reason, one of the main reasons that the signing period is moved from February to December is because northern climate schools and conferences said, we don't want to have to bring in recruits when there's snow on the ground. You know, they'd be like, in some regards, that could be a bad look for them. That was a mistake. And here's why I think it's a mistake. What you just did is you just eliminated almost every prospect senior year of high school. I mean, let's face it. You know, we rush them through to the 11th grade, get them to where they graduate, and get them on campus in January. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the worst thing in the world, but there's no more senior year. So we just rush them through that. The other thing, too, is you really force some people to make evaluations on players before they get all the way through their senior season, which is a little bit ridiculous as well. So I would love to see us get the signing period back to February for cases like this when you're in transition. And I would really like us to, you know, have access, as you mentioned, to week zero. Not everybody has access to week zero right now, which is that first week of the season that can be in August, late August, that allows teams, if they want to take that trip to Ireland or wherever it is and play abroad and have that experience for the kids and their fans. But it allows that, and it also allows the two open dates in the middle of the season to give kids rest, because as we all know, this is a sport that that takes a toll on the body, and I think having those two open weekends really help.
Yeah.
We're gonna let you go. I know, because I know you're busy. I do want to ask you this. Do you think that the loser in an SEC game, championship game, after getting to the SEC championship, would lose out on the 12? My question is, the championship game with Alabama and Georgia, Alabama has two losses. It's scary to me, to some people it's not. They think when you get in the championship game, those two things don't coincide to me. It looks to me like the SEC is as good as the Big Ten, that if you're in the championship game, you automatically get into, unless you get beat 50-0 or something. I don't know, is there a change in that? Just comment on that. Somebody's smarter than I am. Tell us about that.
Well, Coach, we're letting 67 basketball teams in a tournament. But we're letting 12 football teams, which is the best sport in the SEC and the Big Ten. I mean, yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, listen, last year in the SEC is best year ever. 14 of 16 schools got into the NCAA tournament. Why shouldn't we demand something similar of football? I mean, when you think about this, why are we cutting off opportunities or pathways? Because, you know, you get a team in the SEC who finishes in fourth, fifth, sixth place, and they get hot at the end of the year, even if they're not playing a championship game. They could have a pathway to win a national championship. I mean, but right now, there's not enough tournament spots to allow that to happen, which I think is, you know, something that's got to be changed. But to answer your question, yes. If you make it the SEC championship game, I don't care what your record is, you deserve to be in the CFP. This is the best league in America. It has most NFL players in it. It's the most competitive. It's the most athletic. Whenever you have folks in a room who are subjectively making decisions, you're at the will of that group, and they do the best they can. I don't have any hardship with them at all. But we need to have a better opportunity, a better pathway for more SEC teams to get into this tournament.
A little bit of politics in that.
Yeah. John, you probably don't think about this. No, you probably do. And when you were coaching baseball, everybody says the game really comes down to you got to make four or five pitches in certain situations. When you look back, that missed call against Georgia, it just totally changes people's season. It changes lives. These officials need to be held more accountable. I don't know how you do that, but that missed call there, honestly, probably cost Auburn the Georgia game there. I know there was some frustration on the sidelines and all after that game. But if I were Hugh Freeze and those guys, you just look back at those situations, and, boy, those make you cringe, in my opinion.
They do. And, of course, we're in Oklahoma, and we got a wide receiver on a planned play hiding behind a side judge, which is an illegal play. And, of course, the SEC responded to that and sent out information. Here's the bottom line. Did we have some really, really unfortunate things happen to Auburn this year? Yes, we did. Did we need to score more touchdowns? Yes, we did. We do. And that's what at the heart of it. So, listen, both of you have been in these experiences where you're at home on the road, something bad happens. You got to look your kids in the eye and say, look, that's bad. We just had something incredibly unlucky or bad happen to us. We got to figure out a way to still win the football game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the great ones can do, and that's something we have to figure out at Auburn. We can't just point a finger. Now, am I really upset those things happened to us? You damn right I am.
Yeah.
I'm very upset. It's hard for me to get over that. Yeah. But I will tell you this. You've still got to find a way to win the football game and score touchdowns. If you're not scoring touchdowns, it's hard to go back and say that that's what lost the game for you.
Yeah, true.
So you're so nice to be on today, and for an Auburn guy to be on Tuscaloosa thing. You've been a great friend to me, and I appreciate it. And I hope things go well with your new coach. And we can help you. If I can help you, certainly any way I can, I'll be glad to. Thanks a lot. Good luck tonight.
We appreciate
North
y'all.
Carolina State.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you. All right, there, John Cohen.
Good interview.
Yeah, they play. Where is that game tonight? Is that at? I guess they looked
at
that.
It's at Auburn.
Let's see. They got Will Wade coming in the house tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Alabama Pro Wash. At Alabama Pro Wash, they know you're proud of your property. Dirt, mold, and grime on your bricks. Stucco or siding makes even the most cared for home or business seem neglected. Their service includes residential and commercial exterior cleaning, low pressure, soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning. And this is what I need: drone service cleaning for the hard-to-reach areas. Estimates are free. Give them a call today, 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning service at your home or business when you call Alabama Pro Wash. Once again, 205-799-9069. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A little heavier on these roadways on your hump day Wednesday. Moving up in Northport, 69 southbound at Union Chapel. We've got some delays, typical. And 43, also usual slow goes on the southbound lanes to McFarland. McFarland eastbound at Main Avenue.
And up to $6,500 off select Nissan models only at Townsend Nissan. Lifetime warranty, free oil changes, and a pre-approval with no impact to your credit. TownsendNissan.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance
and assist you with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa
weather. A brighter day today. The sky mostly sunny. The high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. Highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here. Tide 100.9.
To Inside the Locker Room. Yellow, good song there. Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. To the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You know, can I say something? That was a great interview with John, I thought. Very good questions, good answers. And he's come a long way since he got that job at Auburn. And it came through in the interview, but I called about the college football playoff committee. They finally got the rankings right. And here's what I think happened. I want to get your take on it. When Texas beat A&M, that diminished the value of A&M to the committee a good bit. And then it diminished the win over Notre Dame. And they moved Alabama up to ahead of Notre Dame, which they should have been all along, but now they got it. And now those last three spots, 10, 11, and 12, they can play with that with the squirrely crap with BYU and all those. And I think that's what they were thinking. They even said Alabama ran the ball better, which added a dimension to the team. In the Auburn game. Now, that's kind of crazy to me, but that's what they said. I'm going to hang up right quick and listen.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think they need Virginia to beat Duke, though, because if Duke wins, you're going to get two non-Power 4 teams in the playoff, and that's not going to be good. So they pull it for Virginia to win this weekend, and then I think they got Alabama ahead of Notre Dame for a reason, because they know that won't be able to change much. They probably got it right. But then I think they need to put Miami ahead of Notre Dame. Where BYU is doesn't really matter, because if they win, then they're in. And if they lose, they're not. So they're definitely in a play game. Dad, any thoughts on what the committee did yesterday?
No, I think they got it pretty close. I don't think it's an easy job as people think it is who look at it. But I think you got it. Fair to say, I just think if I'm Miami, I'm sitting there had beaten Notre Dame head to head, and I'm below them. I know if it was Alabama people, they'd be raising Cain,
yeah,
or anybody else. Like, yeah, I think that's ridiculous, because head to head is that's the key.
Yeah,
whether you like it or not, that's the key. Head to head. So
I just think you two now, you know, they're going. People are going to water their schedules down. Why play all these tough games? If you lose one game, you're in trouble. And so you think Texas wishes they would have played somebody besides Ohio State now? They'd be in the playoff. All right, we'll go ahead and take the break. Ragged Glory, hold on. We'll get to you when we get back from break. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly, certainly don't want it.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, North River Timber, co@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's
Steve DeSager.
The NBA's late game went to Oklahoma City, which has won 13 games in a row after a victory at Golden State, 124-112. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 38 points. At Boston, 42 for Jaylen Brown in a win over New York, 123-117. Minnesota's Anthony Edwards scored 44 points in an overtime decision at New Orleans, 149-142. And Philadelphia whipped Washington, 121-102. Tyrese Maxey, 35 points in 29 minutes. The Wizards fall to 3-17. In college hoops, Syracuse upset number 13, Tennessee. Duke edged Florida, 67-66. Number 5, UConn won at Kansas, 61-56. And North Carolina won at Kentucky, 67-64. Ole Miss offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr. will stay with the team for the playoffs, then leave for LSU. Mississippi up to number 6 in the new committee rankings.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. It's Wednesday. Tony Ragged Gorgeous, hold real tight. We'll get to the Yellowwood Hotline Talk. Tuscaloosa Toyota with Justin Troll. Good morning, Justin. How are you, buddy?
Man, doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. What's happening here in the month of December over at Tuscaloosa Toyota?
I would say, I would hope it would be exactly like November, where we had our biggest ever month in the history of Tuscaloosa Toyota for a November. We hit 154% of our objective, when doing 100% is very, very good. We did 154%, so a 300 car month in the busy, November is not the busiest month of the year. It is considered probably the slowest month of the year, and we had an unbelievable month, and it's an appreciation of the loyal, good customers, service department, so many different things that cause us to be what we are, and we appreciate the business, and look forward to serving our customers this month.
All right, I think I ask you this every December. Somebody wants to buy their wife or child or whatever, something for Christmas, get the bow on it. Can they come in there and buy it, leave it there? Tell me how that works, because you know that happens a lot.
Yeah, I had somebody in town, had twins last December, and they come in the first part of the month, and we were able to work it out where we, held on to the vehicles, and then they surprised, their kids at Christmas. So I've been involved with over the years, with so many different videos and surprises and Christmas presents and all that kind of stuff. Man, it's an exciting time. And you can start that process right there at TuscaloosaToyota.com looking, and here's the difference, Barry. This is what's great. So the last, 4 years with you had the COVID deal that backed the inventory up and all that kind of stuff, you shut down a plant for a week and it backs you up 3 years in inventory. And the inventory wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, but you basically had to buy it before you saw it. Now, man, we've got close to 200 cars, and it'll go over that this month in our inventory. So you probably can find it in stock right now. But hey, if you're wanting to know for sure you got the specific car they want, don't wait to the last minute, but more than likely, we'll have it sitting right there for you. So yes, we can do all that, make it easy right there, and you can start all that process at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Yep, that.
I can't think of anything. My Vince is going great, and the Tuscaloosa's they've done a good job with me. They keep questioning me about checking on a
to check my car, and it's already been checked. I got to get the things corrected.
So, all right, Justin, give your you talk about them a lot, but y'all service department, give them a little shout out here, especially during the holidays. It's people need their vehicles, and I know you guys run them in and out of there daily.
Well, I've told you many times on here, we don't get on here and advertise. We'll give you $5,000 over Kelley Blue Book. We'll pay off your loan. We don't do any of that ridiculous stuff that gets people to come in that, you know, maybe are in a desperate situation. We don't do business like that. We don't make stuff up and all that kind of stuff. The proof is in the pudding at Tuscaloosa Toyota, you know, and when you run, this is the deal. When the numbers show that you run 150-plus cars through your dealership a day in the service department, that means people are servicing their car with the best in the business. There's nobody in town that's even close to that. Not even a third, you know, of people run that many, you know, cars through their shop. They're running, you know, 20 to 40 cars at the most, and we're running 150-plus, and that means that we've got people that don't even – that are not even in the Toyota product servicing with us. And so our service department is absolutely, you know, amazing. And you can just, all you got to do, if you're not even getting your car serviced, just come by and walk through the shop, walk around, see how many people, you know, getting their car serviced, look at the service drive. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And here's the reason. The reason is it's no different than a coaching staff or players, the Jimmys and Joes. We have got high quality, you know, people with tons of experience that are go through many, many weeks of training that are servicing your car. It's just not somebody off the street that's servicing your vehicle. It's people that are qualified, and they are the best in town, and they're the best in the business. And that service
I think also along with that is our advertising for them makes it big too.
Yeah, we take them to the next level.
Well, here's the thing. It's about the people.
I get a lot of calls about it.
And the thing about it is that's where you're. I tell you guys this. It's not about buying the car so much. That's an hour long process. But the life of the vehicle's in the service department. They're spending all their time getting their car serviced when they're keeping it 5 or 6 years. So if you don't have a good service department, you know, you don't have a good place, and that's why we continue to do what we do, is because of the service department.
Yeah, if you don't have a good shooting team, you can't make threes, Justin.
So. There you go, Jimmy's and the Joes.
There you go, people, Jimmy's and Joes. All right, well, we'll let you get back to work, sell those cars. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. All right, now I got these phone calls. Get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Hey, good morning, coaches. And yes, Barry, you do need that respect. Coach Barry, Coach Wimp, good morning to you. Hope y'all are staying warm.
Yeah, it's chilly out there.
Yeah. Can we please get off all this brain salad with all this football stuff going down? Please talk to me a little bit about how we're going to match up against Clemson tonight, men's basketball, and tomorrow night, women.
That
I have no idea about tomorrow night. I need to have her on. I'm going to try to get her on sometime.
Talk to me about this Clemson matchup.
I don't know their personnel very well. I know their coach. And he does a darn good job of getting them ready to play. And they'll play some different defenses they could play. They could even zone Alabama a little bit. I don't know that. I think I don't have any doubt. Barry knows the line more than I do. I would guess Alabama's 6-point favorite.
Well, actually, they're 10.5-point favorite, which I think is
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good because they're, 7-1? We're 5-2. But, yeah, look at who we played. So.
Yeah, they have a very balanced team there. They got three guys averaging 11 points a game. They don't have a big scorer, but they got a few other guys averaging 8 and 7. But they're averaging 85 points a game. Brad Brunell's going to run a lot of good stuff offensively. They're not going to beat themselves. They're going to be very solid. I know Nate Oates has a lot of respect for Clemson and a lot of respect for Brad Brunell as a coach. And he's done a great job at Clemson for sure.
Clemson's not going to win the game.
Okay.
There you go.
I like that. Roll Tide.
Thank you, sir. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Morning, gentlemen. Hey, guys. Real quick, did Miami lost to Virginia, correct?
In football?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm looking it up here. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know exactly who all Miami's lost to.
I'm looking. All right, let me tell you. They lost to Louisville and SMU on the road.
Okay. And I guess
they lost 24-21 and 26-20 at SMU.
Well, I guess them and Virginia didn't play. Did they play Virginia head-to-head?
No.
Okay. I'm of the opinion, guys. I said I called in yesterday, and I told you I thought Notre Dame should drop anyway. But I'm of the opinion I think they're going to drop again. If Virginia wins the ACC, I actually think they're going to move them back a step and put Miami in front of them. That's my opinion. I think they're going to find a way to put Miami in these playoffs. I'm of that opinion. I could be wrong.
I just think both of them aren't playing. When both of them aren't playing, I don't know how you move one ahead of the other. What would have changed? Other than maybe you're saying like your opponent.
See that I thought they played Virginia, but if you take that out of consideration, then maybe I was wrong. I was of the understanding that I don't know how Virginia made the ACC title game and not Miami.
Because Virginia's 7-1. Miami's 6-2 and SMU 6-2. Obviously, you got a league that big, so SMU won the tiebreaker. That's why they're saying that they messed up. They should have put the highest ranked team in, because you're going to end up, if SMU wins, I don't think the ACC will get anybody in if SMU. So there's a lot of so they won the tiebreaker, but Virginia only lost one game.
Is Alabama okay in a close loss?
I think so, yes. I believe so. Now, we don't need to mess around and get blown out. I think if we get beat 17 or more, I think they're going to drop us back. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I wasn't on board with Barry saying that as long as we make the SEC title game, we're in. I didn't believe that. And if we get beat badly, I don't know, y'all. It just depends on what they think, because it is. We all know as coaches, it's hard to beat the same team twice. It just is.
Yeah, and Alabama is the number one seed in the SEC. You gonna tell me the number one, because they beat Georgia head to head. So if they went into this championship game, they are the one seed against two seed Georgia. The one seed from the SEC is not gonna make the playoff.
I think they should, but I don't know. I don't know how these folks think, Barry. Yeah. I really don't. I know one thing.
I wouldn't schedule tough out of conference anymore. If you know, Texas sitting there losing to Ohio State, if they were 10-2, although they've had they'd probably be in. So that, why schedule these teams if they only look at the number of losses? I wouldn't do it.
Let me ask y'all this: if let's say that you swap the name and the jersey color Georgia for Vanderbilt, are they in?
I hate it for Vanderbilt. Probably, yeah.
I do too. Yeah. I think they are. I really do believe that. So,
yeah.
It's difficult to say, but you know, because you leave it up to people, and I do wonder in the future if they're going to start using the old computer program to so you take some a little bit of Regency bias out of it as well.
Yeah.
We shall see. All right. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tony. All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get Bill Cameron in. Seems like the Auburn Tiger Day, Chase. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC, is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Road construction in Tuscaloosa is pretty much the star of the show. Right now we're looking at 2059 westbound between 69 and Western Bypass and McWright's Ferry Road extension between Rice Mine and New Watermelon Road. You've got that long-term road construction as well.
With all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP, call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Crimson Tide today. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's daily update on Bama Sports and is brought to you by Connecticut Sausage, a true Southern flavor since 1947, and the official smoked sausage of the Crimson Tide. Order online at ConnecticutSausage.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On yesterday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we were joined by the voice of the Crimson Tide, Chris Stewart.
None of those applied in this. They were ready, but for whatever reason, didn't play like they'd prepared. And you wonder if a team, frankly, can recover from that. But man, did they ever. And other than the hiccup against Oklahoma, when frankly felt like it was the better team on the field, but didn't get the win, we know why. It's been really impressive since that time, and now have put themselves in position to play Georgia again. Hopefully beat Georgia again and win an SEC title again.
I'll have more in a moment.
Hello, Tide fans. This is Chris Stewart for Konecka Sausage. Konecka is an Alabama fan favorite we all know and love. It's made from the finest cuts of pork, their patented blend of seasonings, and smoked over a pure hickory fire for that true hickory smoked southern flavor. Konecka Sausage is always great on the grill and perfect for tailgating. Pick up a pack and enjoy your family's favorite recipes at any meal of the day. Konecka Sausage, a game day tradition, and the official smoked sausage of the Crimson Tide.
Join us tonight for Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, live at Baumhauer's Victory Grill at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to Hey Coach across our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as watch a video stream on all Alabama Athletics social media platforms. Hey Coach is presented by Alpha Insurance. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Konecka Sausage. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A brighter day today, the sky mostly sunny, the high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with the low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain, highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 35 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the Locker Room. Get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. It's ESPN 106.7 The Drive down Auburn Opelika, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. Joins us every Wednesday, Bill Cameron. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Good
morning. Good morning. Barry, Whip, how are you guys?
Yes.
We're okay. How are you?
Good.
What's the talk around Auburn football and basketball-wise? I think it's easier to ask you that kind of question rather than specific questions. I know. We've talked to John Cohen, and so what's the feeling around? They are anxious for the new coach. They like the basketball coach. Both those sports, football and basketball.
I would say probably if you want to look at both of them, I would say cautiously optimistic. I mean, maybe not even terribly cautiously as far as basketball. I think folks are pretty excited about the way things have gone here early on. Obviously, that Michigan game had some people thinking, "Oh man, is this team really, really as good as we thought?" And then Michigan turned around and beat Gonzaga by 40. So, I thought the way they bounced back against St. John's, especially, you know, coming back from 9 down at the half and outscoring St. John's by 22 in the second half. I think people are pretty stoked about what they've seen. Tahat Pettiford went off out there in Las Vegas. I believe he was the leading scorer out there in the players' era field. So with the way that Keyshawn Hall has played, Keyshawn Murphy, his biggest problems have been staying healthy. And then a couple of games he's gotten into foul trouble. But I think we've seen flashes from a few of the players. And I think, it's still quite a few challenges with NC State tonight, Arizona this coming weekend, and then at Arizona this weekend, and then Purdue up in Indianapolis before we even get into conference play. But I think thus far it's been you know, pretty positive there for basketball, and then football. You know, the Alex Golish hire sort of came out of nowhere. His name had been mentioned a little bit, but it he wasn't really being talked about. John did a really good job of keeping things pretty quiet, because you heard John Sumrall and you heard DJ Durkin, and there were other names that were mentioned. But now that Auburn has, gotten DJ Durkin back in the fold as defensive coordinator, I think fans are pretty excited. If there's any indication yesterday on our show, I mean, it was really positive. That the first day, it's like, who is this guy? Let's find out more about him. How are we going to be able to try to retain players? Because I think a lot of folks felt that DJ Durkin would be a key in retaining a lot of players. But we'll have to wait and see, you know, who all does stick and who leaves. But I think the combination that the potential there of the Alex Golish offense, which has been darn productive wherever he's been, including, you know, as Josh Heupel's offensive coordinator in this past year, one of the top, scoring and total offenses in the country with DJ Durkin's defense, has folks pretty excited about the future.
When you fire, you normally hire maybe different than what you fired. I get why he said it. I think he was trying to be funny, maybe, when he said he doesn't play golf. All his hobbies, football. That's a little bit of a low blow, I think, maybe, that you freeze there. What was your take on the golfing comment?
I tell you what, if you were watching it, he wasn't thrilled that that question, because he was asked the question, "Do you play golf?"
Okay. I didn't realize that.
He gave a quick look, and it's one of those things where I don't know that I want to get on his bad side here early on. So I don't know that was the greatest way to get started. But he paused for a beat and said, "I know that's a setup," and then went on with the answer about golf. I thought it was like an attempt to sort of be funny there a little bit with him, and he showed a bit of a sense of humor a couple of times, but I don't think he was thrilled with that question.
Yeah. Sumrall, whether he was the first choice or not, there's rumors out there.
I think he was.
Yeah, that he was kind of being told maybe who he needed to hire there. These guys want to, when they come in, they take a job like that, they want to bring their own staff. What happened with that situation that pushed him to Florida?
I don't know really what happened. I mean, I was told by two or three people that really wasn't anything that was a deal breaker, that, John was going to be able to have who he had. I do believe that, just from two or three people that I've talked to, not just around here, I think maybe perhaps John's conversations with Lane. Apparently, they had some long conversations. Then Urban Meyer got involved as well. But it seems as though Lane said, "Look, there have been problems with some meddling over there at Auburn." So that may have been something, because something sure soured. It felt like in the last week leading up to the announcement there on Sunday. So Again, I'm not sure because I wasn't privy to the whole thing, but it appears Auburn is going to be paying Alex Golish about what John Summerall's making at Florida, and I don't think it was a slam dunk that DJ Durkin was going to be back either. So it's really interesting. We'll just have to see how things do work out, because I think a Bull Gator or two might want to have a word too, a little bit of influence down there in Gainesville.
I was surprised Deuce Knight didn't play at all, especially in the first half when Ashton Daniels was struggling a little bit in this Iron Bowl. You thought they would go to him. They didn't. Is there any talk about that at all, Bill?
Not really. I mean, there's been just a little, but I mean, the way Ashton played, yeah. I mean, his numbers don't really show the game that he had. My goodness, Auburn dropped the ball more Saturday than they had just about all year long. And with guys that usually is no concern of that. You know, I was thinking that midway, there at about the 10-minute mark of the second quarter, I was wondering, man, how long do you go before you make a change? You got to get a spark. And from that point on, the Auburn offense was pretty darn good. So I know that it's interesting. I know that Deuce was one of the first guys that Alex Golish talked to after he got to Auburn. But, that it's going to be interesting to see. He had a pretty good quarterback down there in Tampa this past year who threw for over 3,000 yards and ran for 1,000. And I think folks down there expect him to enter the portal. So quarterback's going to be interesting to watch. I expect Ashton to be back at Auburn next year. He said as much after the game. And I don't think he cares who is here. He just wants to be able to compete, and this is where he wants to be. But we'll see what happens with Deuce. There's no question that he's a talented young man, and yeah, there were thoughts more about it, I guess, during the ball game than after it, because it wasn't Ashton Daniels' fault that Auburn fell short.
Sure, Matt.
What's off the subject, but what's Bruce Pearl going to do?
I guess he's going to do what he's doing now. I mean, he's getting to spend time there on the screen and enjoying doing that. But he's also hanging around with his grandkids and popping up around games. I think he seems pretty happy. Seems pretty happy with what he's doing right now.
Yeah, doing the TV. He's pretty open when he's behind the mic. He talked about offering the kid from UAB $1 million, and I guess he didn't even blink at it. So he has no filter when he talks, does he, Bill?
No, he doesn't. And I enjoy that kind of thing. Sometimes you wonder, man, are you letting a little too much out? But no, he's very comfortable and just a natural at doing that, I think.
Any word on what Hugh Freeze is doing? Is he going to stay in Auburn? What's Hugh Freeze looking to do?
I was really interested. I haven't had a chance to listen to the interview, but he did an interview. I guess it was over the weekend, or it may have just been on Monday, where he said he really wants to get back into coaching. So, I wonder now with all the openings that there have, man. What a run on group of five schools by the SEC and around the country, and one of those is Memphis. There's been a little buzz that maybe Hugh might be interested in that Memphis job. So I thought he might take a little time off, but it sounds like he still wants to coach, and I guess that's not a shock, because for a lot of guys that have been in it, it's tough to just give it up.
Yeah. Do you see a scenario where a team make the SEC championship game? Obviously, Georgia's going to be in regardless. But if Alabama were to go and lose in Atlanta, so that gives them an extra game, it puts a loss there on them, that they would be left out of this playoff?
Well, I mean, we saw the scenario in 2017 when there was the four-team playoff and Auburn was the number two team in the final, rankings before conference championship games. When they lost to Georgia, it bumped them out. I would think it would take something like what happened in that game maybe an injury to a key player, and a loss, a decisive loss, is probably what it would take. They're not supposed to penalize teams, or they shouldn't penalize teams for making a championship game and losing. But I think if you lose, you better keep it close.
Yeah. We had John Cohen on the first hour, and I talked to him about, in baseball, three or four pitches really determine a game. And, I think if you're Hugh Freeze, you're probably looking back at it and saying, had that one call against Georgia gone our way, or they didn't. I think John talked about the receiver hiding behind somebody in Oklahoma. Calls there that literally probably could have cost this guy his job, to be quite honest with you. These things come down to one or two plays in these games, and then people's lives are turned upside down, Bill.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, Auburn still had opportunities despite that. But you're right. I mean, I've never seen a team lose as many games the way Auburn did this year. They lost six games by a touchdown or less. And the only loss that wasn't a touchdown or less was the Georgia game. And as you said, that game was an eyelash or a call that looked like it should have held up away from being up 17-0 in that one. So that's how how near miss it was. But the problem, it felt the problem with Auburn football this year is just they didn't, when they had an opportunity to make that play to win the ball game, and it wasn't just offensively or defensively, they couldn't make it. I mean, you look at Auburn had a couple of opportunities Saturday to make an interception, if they don't put the ball on the ground. I mean, but those are things that happen. And look, regardless, it's going to come back on the coach. And sometimes you wonder if it's just that mentality that really knowing that you can make the play and then being able to do it. And that's something that Auburn just didn't have this year. I mean, it wasn't a lack of talent. It wasn't that they were, outmanned, outmatched in those ball games. It's just you've got to make the play when the opportunity is there. And I know the coach isn't out there on the field to do it, but that's one of the responsibilities. Sometimes fair or unfair, it's going to determine his fate.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything else I can think of. Particularly, the game tonight with NC State is, good game for the SEC and good game for Auburn. I don't even comment about that game tonight or not, but I think NC State comes to Auburn. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, they come in with a really good offense. They have not been great defensively. This will be another challenge. One of the things Steven yesterday was talking about is, that's where he continually wants this team to improve. Auburn's going to be able to score. They've got to get better defensively. They're going to be challenged again the next two ball games with two of the better offenses in the country. NC State comes in with all five of their starters shooting better than 40% from three, and as a team, they're a 42% team shooting three. So they'll challenge the Auburn defense, especially on the perimeter. So I think that'll be a good matchup for them before they head to Arizona this weekend.
Please don't lose to Will Wade. All right, Bill, tell everybody where they can find you and get all your great stuff down there.
Yep, it's The Drive on ESPN 106.7 every afternoon, 4 to 6. You can check us online at ESPNAU.com. Go to RadioAlabama.net. Join us live. If you can't do that, download the podcast.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks,
bye,
Bill.
Guys. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to break. Before we do it, though, let's talk about our great friends over at Bryant Bank.
Well, Bryant Bank, outstanding bank, as I talk about it every day. They'll do everything they possibly can to please you, whether you have a personal business account or both accounts. Go by Bryant Bank and visit with them, and I think that you'll find I'm telling you the truth. So your money will be safe. They'll keep a very good guard on it, and you can bank online around the clock. So tell them you heard Inside the Locker Room, and I think you'll be well placed.
All right, we'll take the break here. Then we'll get back the vinegar tip chase. for this Wednesday, brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. You listen to Tide 100.9. Chase, you up? Chase is asleep. Chase, you listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Road construction in Tuscaloosa is pretty much the star of the show. Right now we're looking at 2059 westbound between 69 and Western Bypass and McWright's Ferry Road extension between Rice Mine and New Watermelon Road. You've got that long-term road construction as well.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
I knew that I wouldn't.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. That's the vinegar tip for this Wednesday hump day edition of Inside the Locker, brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call today, 205-752-8500. What is the tip for this Wednesday?
Well, it's a pretty short tip this time. Some of my tips are, I think, pretty good. You know, apple cider vinegar can be, you can drink it or taste it or whatever, but some of you didn't know this, but it can be a tooth whitener. You can rub the apple cider vinegar, and you got to use it with baking soda. If you'll take the apple cider vinegar and the baking soda and some water, and that foaming action will help to whiten your teeth. You've got, I'm not sure exactly how you do it, but, you put, that baking soda and you wet that cloth with apple cider vinegar and put that baking soda on there and scrub those teeth pretty good. And especially those front teeth who you'd like for them to be white, cause that's where you, whatever with people, they look at your front teeth more. They can't see your back teeth. So use apple cider vinegar as a whitener with baking soda and water, and you're going to find that you look a lot better than you look right now.
All right. That's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Located 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, right there by Talbot's and by Cancun Red Bull. And Michael will take great care of you. All right, last night the SEC did not fare too well. Duke won against Florida. Syracuse beat Tennessee. North Carolina, come on, Kentucky. You can't lose to North Carolina at home. North Carolina knocks off Kentucky. Virginia Tech knocks off South Carolina. Oklahoma did get a win at Wake Forest. A&M with a win. Bucky Ball wins at Pittsburgh. Miami goes to Ole Miss. Chris Beard was not happy. He said he's going to put some guys on the bench. So Miami knocks off Ole Miss. Georgia throttles Florida State. Notre Dame beats Missouri. So by my calculations, there the SEC only won three games there, so I guess they're 3-5 headed into tonight. What's your thoughts about tonight? Let's go through these games real fast, and you tell me who you think's going to win. Not cover the
Arkansas,
line.
Yeah,
Arkansas is at home. Like, they're at home against Louisville. Louisville's actually a favorite on the road by 3.5.
Well, I think Arkansas has still got some getting to get. Louisville beat Kentucky. Anybody can beat Kentucky right now where they defend. I'd probably give it to Arkansas, hopefully, but I don't know.
We talked Clemson, Alabama. You think Alabama wins? LSU is at Boston College. LSU, I don't know if they've beaten anybody, but they are 7-0.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know what the line. I'd say Boston College.
Well, there actually is no line for some reason. SMU's at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is playing well. They're undefeated. They went and won the tournament over in Atlantis. Vanderbilt, 10.5-point favorite tonight in Nashville.
Yeah, well, they're good. They're playing a lot better. And they'll be an early opponent of Alabama's on the road after Alabama opens up with Kentucky at home. Vanderbilt's playing well. I don't know about lines, but for Vanderbilt, certainly win the game.
NC State at Auburn. We talked about that with Bill. Auburn, 6.5-point favorite tonight in Neville Arena.
Well, most of the time when Auburn plays at home, they're going to be the favorite. They've got a good offensive basketball team, I think, and they're kind of feeding him out, the new coach. I think Auburn wins it.
Virginia at Texas. I don't see a line here, but I thought I saw earlier this morning that Texas was a 3.5-point favorite. Virginia, coached by Ryan Odom, Odom's son there. They've actually played well. They're 6-1 currently. They take on Sean Miller in Texas. A lot of people don't remember Sean Miller. Well, went to Texas from Xavier. Nobody knows. We don't know much about Virginia.
No, I really don't.
Then the one of the teams that's been a little bit of a disappointment in the league, Mississippi State. They're 3-4 right now. They travel over to Georgia Tech tonight to end the series.
I have no idea about that game. Only thing I can tell our fans is that Alabama plays Mississippi State twice.
Yeah, so... there you go. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll open up the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Then we'll get out of here and make way for the Gary Harris Show. Also, see if you've been studying on your blue plate. You don't have a lot of options this weekend, and so you need to get this thing right this week as well. So that's brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got some trouble up in North Fort. This is on 69 just north of Charlie Shirley Road. Now, this is not causing a huge to-do in that area, but you do have some slow rolls on 69, both north and southbound at Union Chapel Road. Now, as you move on back down
for nonstop entertainment, play for fun and play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 21+.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance in its
outdoor patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A brighter day today. The sky mostly sunny. The high 51. For tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 33. For tomorrow and Friday, cloudy both days with periods of rain. Highs between 47 and 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 36 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
Back to Inside the Locker Room. The signing day used to be in February. Man, that was such a big deal. People sit around the radios waiting on guys to sign. Now they've moved it to December. I don't understand why. The early signing period, I guess. And you know, talk about it. Everybody's, I hadn't heard a word about it, to be quite honest. I know Alabama signed two quarterbacks. I don't know why two quarterbacks would come to Alabama, but. And they're supposed to have a great day. Vanderbilt got Georgia's commit, five-star quarterback there. So there's a situation where the talent is being spread around, but it's not a lot of buzz about signing date like it used to be. That used to be like a national holiday, but you don't see that anymore.
Well, you really don't. You don't see it written about much. Media doesn't take to it much. Just outstanding things they talk about. They don't kind of rate it much. We don't know how to rate it because the problem that we have is you get players, but you also lose them. And so it's hard to rate where your team's going to be because of the transfer portal. So
I just don't understand. Like everybody says, we're just going to go to the portal. Where are all these high school kids going then? Because somebody's got to be in there to be in the portal in the next couple of years. So these high school players have to have somewhere to go. So I'm assuming the smaller Division I schools are maybe getting a lot of these freshmen there. But they're also trying to work the portal as well. Now, I'm curious, and I don't know how this happened, but Lane Kiffin said he called the committee to let them know that Charlie Weiss would be going back to call the plays for Ole Miss. He didn't want him not being there affect their ranking. They actually went up a spot. But whose idea was that? Was that Lane Kiffin reaching out to Ole Miss? Ole Miss reaching out to Charlie Weiss? Pete Golding thought they needed it. How did that go down, I wonder? That's kind of a strange deal. But who made the first contact there to make sure to make this happen, you think?
Nobody has any idea. You know, you'd think that Lane Kiffin would do it, but he's such a scrambler. You don't know. I don't really know. I guess the key, the athletic director, just, you know, or I guess the kid also made his own mind, not the kid, but the coach made up his own mind whether what he wanted to do or what he thought he should do. And it went from there, I guess.
I mean, did he go ask Lane? LSU signed off on it. I think he wants Ole Miss to win. Not that who he wants to win is going to really matter, but obviously Jimmy Sexton put in the contract where if Ole Miss advances on, he gets his bonuses based on Ole Miss winning. So good for Jimmy Sexton there. But I was a little surprised that happened, but I guess I'm happy. I don't know who they had retained over there on the offense, but that's got to be weird for him walking back in that building over there yesterday to get in preparation for this game. They had Pete Golding spoke last night at halftime or before the game when Ole Miss took on Miami. So I guess maybe he was close with all those staff and Pete Golding wanted him to come back. I'd like to know how all that went down.
Yeah, I would too. I guess it doesn't matter in the long run, but it's interesting to see how. I didn't know enough about it to talk about at the beginning of the show, so that's alone. It's a weird deal. So,
I thought it was fake news when it first came out, but obviously it's not. So you will be there calling the plays for the Ole Miss Rebels for this.
Who are they going to play?
Let's see if it came out today. If they didn't, they're six, so that means they'd play the winner of what? Let me look here.
So, I got it too somewhere. I may have lost it, but
they would play. The conference champion. Looks like they might play Virginia if Virginia knocks off, and then they would play in the second round. Georgia is what this thing reads about. But if I was Ohio State, if Alabama ends up in Oklahoma 8-9, man, you got to play Alabama in that first round for those guys. That's not a great draw either. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, Ohio State's got them a quarterback. Alabama could have.
Yeah, there we go. All right, that's it for today's show. We appreciate Brian Hart Construction. We'll do the Blue Plate Special later on this week, sponsored to you by Brian Hart Construction. We need strength, precision, and reliability. Trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Hart Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services. From custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals, no job is too big or too tough. Give them a call today. It's 205-759-1337. Go to bhardenconst.com. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.